I'm Steve Bijou, and this is Down Home Corner. You know, I grew up in the Maritimes, a place rich with stories and storytellers, and I realized everybody has a story, and we are all connected. In this episode, it's not about the thunder, but rather thunderbolt. Music and magic, they're almost the same. You know who said that? One of my guests. And he said a whole lot of other things, too. So, let's get right to the show. There's a band from northern New Brunswick called Thunderbolt. They've been around since the 90s. They've played Salmon Festivals, RCVAA Telethons, all kinds of fundraisers, and a ton of other gigs across the Maritimes over the last few decades. There have been many, many different lineups and formations of Thunderbolt, but since the early days till now, two members have remained at the core, the principal players Keith Harris and Gary Fugere, the bass player and drummer. Keith is from Camelton, Gary from Dalhousie. A couple of great musicians, but a couple of great guys too. You're more likely to end up in a laugh than an argument with these guys. To me, Thunderbolt embodies the true spirit of rock and roll. Let's have some fun. Let's have some laughs. But more than anything else, let's just get up there and play. So how do you end up in Thunderbolt? Do you audition? Send them a demo? Answer an ad on Facebook? No. It's like this. Somebody in the band comes up to you and informs you that they need a singer or a guitar player or whatever, and that you are now filling that position, and that rehearsals are Thursday night at Gary's in Dalhousie. This is not to be discussed further. It's already been decided. You don't have any say in the matter. True rock and roll. That was my story, and apparently the blueprint for some of the other recruitment campaigns. Many former members of Thunderbolt continue to play and make music, write songs, and entertain worldwide. Many of us feel like part of an alumni, and all of us had a whole lot of fun and laughter. Not only are these guys my musical brothers, and always will be, but it's time for them to get their due. So welcome, Thunderbolt, to Down Home Corner.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good.
We're here.
We are here. I don't know what happens after that, but we are here. Joining us on Down Home Corner, a couple of friends of mine, a couple of people I've played with as musicians, a couple of people who are definitely well-known in the community and have been around the music community, I think, for so many years. I've got Keith Harris and Gary Fugere. Welcome to Down Home Corner, guys.
Good. Hello, world.
Hi, everybody.
All right, I used to ask this question. I got away from it, and I started doing it again recently. I'll ask you each individually, what do you think a down-homer is in your eyes? Keith, what do you think a down-homer is?
Well, I think it's somebody from down home, the Maritimes, where all the good music comes from.
I like it. I like it. Gary, what do you think?
Down-homer. Homer Simpson?
That's what I thought.
Down Homer.
Okay. A Down Homer is someone who is like Homer Simpson.
No. It's like stop. Down Home. Like Keith said, it's good food, good people, good music, you know? Mm-hmm. Good country.
I like it.
It's where we come from.
Yeah, exactly.
The two of you guys would be, I guess, what you call the core, the principal members of Thunderbolt. Now Thunderbolt's, I had heard a little bit of the history when I joined you guys as a singer for, I think it was like 2 years, if that. But what I loved about the whole idea was that Thunderbolt had a whole bunch of stories. You guys had a history, and there were legendary stories, you know, like over the years. And now I put the pressure on you, and you won't think of any of them. what I loved about Thunderbolt, and that's why I wanted to have you guys on the show, is there's a lot of history where a lot of people have come into the lineup and gone over the years, and a lot of different musicians played with Thunderbolt. So there's a bit of music history in there. And there's also a bit of, I guess, maritime history in there. You know, Keith, how did the band get formed to begin?
It actually started with two guys besides me and Gary. It was Raymond and Dana. I just happened to stop by Ray and Mitch's beverage room one night, and they were in there doing a duet. And I said I'd be interested in playing bass with them. Yeah, sure. Sounds good to me.
Raymond Savoy and Dana Bolton.
And then I wound up playing with them for with a drum machine for a little while. And then we're at Ben's Tavern one night, and I said, you know what? We need a drummer. So I asked around, and Brent Varsino said, I know a drummer. He said, but he's loud. So I said, yeah, okay. So we went and met Gary and asked him to be interested in playing. He goes, when we rehearse? So we rehearse at Ben's Tavern on Saturday night.
During the gig?
During a gig. That's in the rehearse. Then I got a little flustered going, we can't afford three guys. How can we afford four? Well, so we may as well get five then if we can't afford three or four. Let's go in the whole big times. We're out in front of Ben's Tavern. Gino Clements goes driving by, flagged him over. Gino, what are you doing? Nothing. You want to play tonight? Yes, I do. Got every, all his gear was in the trunk of his car. He just set up, and we played that night. And that was basically the setup until Bliss came and Dana left. Which is, yeah. So it just kind of evolved.
What year are we looking at, do you think, roughly?
94. Yeah, something like that, Gary?
Yeah, could be 93, 94, not far from there.
Somewhere around there.
So Gary, then you come into the band at that point, around 94, and what are your thoughts from back then?
Yeah, it was a get-up-and-go kind of situation where it was just, hey, that's what I said, is like, when we were rehearsing, it was like, your rehearsal is live kind of thing. So not like putting a little stress, you know, on the spot also. And when, yeah, we got it on tape. It's recorded somewhere on video. And it's,
the first night.
First night with all the five guys, five strangers for me. I played with Dana earlier when he was with Donnie, and that was about it. Off the gigs when they had no drummer, I would fill in. But besides that, Raymond, I never played with. Keith, I had met the week prior. And
that's right. Didn't even know you.
Didn't even know you. Didn't even know Gino either. Not a clue.
Hmm.
Yeah. And it just, it bonded really well for five strangers. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was the key, that everybody just got along perfectly.
And the thing is, too, is, you know, when these things happen organically, you just keep going a lot of times. It's like, hey, it worked. Let's do some more of it. You know, like you kind of feed off that feeling of it. And it's not often that you get the right chemistry where everybody does click like that, you know?
Well, you could put five guys or four or five guys together that are the best musicians in the world. But if they don't get along, it ain't going to work.
Yep. Yep. I know that. Like years ago, let me tell you a story. Years ago, I'm in Hamilton. I'm living in Hamilton. Rhymes with Hamilton. And I'm looking to record some demos. Okay, this is a big step for me. I need to find a producer and I need to find a place to record. And since I'm in Hamilton, I thought, oh, well, where should I go? I know. I'll go to Daniel Lanois' old studio. Maybe he's still kicking around and he'll produce me for nothing, right? You know, but I mean, like, it was just the history of that place. You know, a Grant Avenue Studios, and was actually on Grant Avenue, which was a small street in Hamilton. So I go down there and, you know, and I walk in and I look, and it's just a beautiful house. The control room is right as you walk in. You go past there and there's the same place where Bono and all these guys have recorded, you know, over the years. Phenomenal, you know, but like it's the organic feeling that you get from the place. You know, there's some kind of an energy that comes in there. And I kind of got that feeling with Thunderbolt, you know? Like, things just, there's a lot of Forrest Gumpism going on, you know? It's like we're walking down the street and we need a bass player, and here's a guy walking with a, you know, bass guitar in his hand, you know, or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's that type of thing with Thunderbolt. It's like, it's a band, but it's not really a band. It's a concept. It's an idea, you know? And I don't mean to...
It's a very good analogy.
Yeah, and I don't mean to cheapen it or you know, like, slough it off. But, I mean, I think that's what I was attracted to, you know? Like, I love the feeling of it. You know, like, there's a certain feeling of it, right? How would you describe it, Keith?
We laughed a lot.
Yes. Yes. Gary?
Yeah, we had a lot of... good moments, a lot of, you know, spontaneous moments also, and there was always, every time we played something, there's something out of the ordinary that happened, good or bad. It was always, and we laugh about it now, but back then it was, you know,
Oh, yeah.
Funny. Still.
Yeah, yeah, still good. Yeah.
Oh, well,
yeah.
To back that up, you know, and I'm glad that was your answer, Keith, because, like, I couldn't have written it for you any better. But, I mean, like, the thing with me was that's what I loved about it. It was just like, you know, plug in and off you go, you know. And there was...
Well, it's like when you joined, you come up and played your demo and like, oh, you're in.
It was as simple as that. There was no sitting around and discussions. And like, it seems like if it fits, it's going to work, you know? So like I say, there's a lot of
Yeah, we'll mention it to the other guys.
Yeah. The thing is for me, you know, like, you kind of came around, you kind of came along for me at a time where I really needed to belong to something, you know? I think, Keith, it stemmed from this some kind of a project that Leo Gallant was doing, and
and Hamilton Records,
yeah, and he had a whole bunch of concepts with no work or plan being formulated, but I mean, he said, "Can you sing?" And then I mean, he didn't even have a microphone set up, and I remember getting up and singing. Well, like two of my songs that I had recorded, and then you looked at me and went, "Oh, I didn't know you could sing, Steve." And I go, "Well, a little bit." And I did an album, and you went, "Okay, well, can you be available Thursday night? You're in the band." And I'm like, "What?" And and you know, and it was and I like that was, man, that was something I needed to feel like I belonged to something, because I was right on the edge of depression. I had come back home. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life, and between the radio station and the band, like it really carried me, you know. But I mean, like it really, I don't know. And I got the feeling like that's what the feeling of Thunderbolt was all about. Not carrying somebody, but having people participate, bringing your talents to the table. It didn't matter who you were, where you were from, you know.
Yeah. Well put.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Well put. Yeah.
I want to get into a piece that I did on the radio, and Keith was part of that. And it was, I need to set this up. The biggest story of the day back then in that summer was the Rolling Stones were going to play Magnetic Hill in Moncton. And it was going to be the biggest show of all time. And I think at the time it was. And so... It's for me on the radio, it was kind of the elephant in the room. Like, I've got to address this somehow, but everybody knows there's not a chance, not a hope in hell, I'm going to get somebody from the band on the air with me in Hamilton. So I'm thinking, well, okay, well, what can I do? And I thought, well, how about if I did a couple of Saturday Night Live type of skits, you know, some SNL type of things, you know, where I would just do some skits and I would have me calling up, connecting with Keith Richard, and asking him for tickets. And the concept was I'd ask him for tickets and he wanted money. He wanted me to pay him. So I did that and ran that on the air, and this is what it sounded like. Hi, Keith. Keith, listen, it's me, Steve. Listen, here's the deal, okay? I got friends of mine from everywhere, all over the place. They're calling me up. They're saying, Steve, can you get me Rolling Stones tickets to the big show at Magnetic Hill in Moncton? See, problem is, Keith, it's a sellout. And I'm just wondering if you could, as a favor to me and our listeners here at CKNB, do you think there's a chance you could get your hands on a few pairs of tickets for me? Keith, is there any chance you can do that?
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, I'm not involved much in the sales department with the tour. And besides, you know, those tickets are expensive, I hear.
Keith, well, listen, if it's a question of money, you know, I mean, I'd be happy to pay for them. If it's an issue, like if you can't afford to cover them,
Yeah, well, yeah, you see, the thing is, I'm a little short on cash right now, because we don't get paid till the middle of the month, you know, and me wife and me mistresses got me on a tight allowance. Otherwise, I'd spend all me royalties on Jack Daniels and stuff. But, and those blood transfusions, you know, that I get once a month out in Switzerland, those suckers are expensive, you know.
Yeah, yeah, right, Keith. Look, like I said, if money's an issue, you know, if it's about money, I don't want that to be a problem. I'll be happy to pay for them, okay? Is it okay if I send you a check? Can I send you a check? Is that okay?
No checks. Cash, American dollars, okay? American dollars only.
Yeah, yeah, American. well, I mean, I don't actually have any American on me at the moment, Keith.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, call me when you're serious, okay? God, another deadbeat radio announcer. Yeah, looking for a handout, are you, bud?
Yeah, so that was the deal, and you got to remember that was on the air in Camelton.
Whee!
I thought, okay, so what can I do now with it? Okay, so I've got this skit, I got this thing I played on the air with Keith Richard and me talking and me asking for tickets, and he wants money, and since I don't have money, he hangs up. So I thought, what can I do? And I thought, well, let's get my friend Keith Harris to come in, and I'll get Keith to. I'll write a script. I'll give him the questions to ask, and I'll do Keith Richard voice. And it doesn't sound like him at all, but that's part of the joke. It's like, hey, it doesn't sound like Keith Richard. Yeah, I know. Isn't that funny? What's he saying? So we just took it from there, and I thought, let's have some fun with it. And I wrote the questions, and Keith came in on a Saturday morning. And I remember Jesse was there with you too. Jesse was just, yeah. He was just a kid. And you know, my God, he's working for the police force in Listigush, and you know, my, it's so many miles away from that. But I remember that Saturday morning.
He worked at CKMB for a while.
Did he? Hey, that's true. Yeah, I forgot he did. He was there.
Yeah, he was a DJ there for a while.
Yeah, that's great. You know, anyway, so this is what it sounded like. And there's a whole bunch of Campbelltonian-isms in there. Okay, here's what's going on here. A friend of mine dropped into the studio with me here this morning, and it's Keith Harris. He plays bass in the same band that I sing with, Thunderbolt. We just did a show a couple days ago. A week ago? Thursday,
that's right, down in Dalhousie.
A lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Anyway, Keith has been bugging me, because he knows I've had Keith Richard on the air with me, and he's been bugging me to get on there. He wants to meet Keith, and even if it's only by phone, he wants to talk to Keith Richard. That's true, right?
It is true. I mean, who wouldn't? Come on.
Yeah.
Get real.
It's not just the name Keith and Keith, right?
Well, it is a very good name. I mean, I might be biased because I am Keith, but it is a very good name. But it's, you know, it's Keith Richard. Come on. It's the Stones.
Well, okay. I've known you a long time. I got to help you out on this one here. I'll at least do the best I can. And besides, since the last time I spoke with Keith Richard here, we did an interview a couple of weeks back, you may have heard. And on that one, I was asking him for tickets because a lot of my friends want tickets to the Stones show at Magnetic Hill, but they can't find them. They've been sold out for months. And well, they've been asking me to get tickets through Keith Richard during these interviews. So I called him up and I asked him, and he, you want free tickets kind of thing. And he was a little offended by that. And so I thought, if I got my friend Keith here to come in, Keith Harris, and ask questions for me to Keith Richard, it might come out as a nice interview. Because I don't want the people that I interview to be upset at me, you know, and I don't want to cause any disrespect. So we got Keith Harris going to come in here and help us out, and he's going to get a chance to meet one of his idols. One of your idols,
oh,
right?
Oh, yes, definitely, 100%.
Greatest rock and roll band of all time.
All time.
There you go.
And a long time.
All right, so here we go. Keith Harris, meet Keith Richard.
Mr. Richards, how are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Keith. Yeah, I'm doing all right. Yeah, good to hear from you and all.
Listen, I seen on the news that Mick Jagger was at an Urban Convenience Store in St. Andre, New Brunswick. Were you guys, like, low on gas? You needed cigarettes? What's the deal on that?
Well, you may have seen it on the news, yeah. You know, Mick was in an Irving convenience store in St. Andre, New Brunswick, wherever that is. And you know, they showed on the news he had a coffee and he bought a pack of cigarettes. But actually, Mick really had to stop for a pee. He had to use the loo. Mick, you know, it happens, you know, when you're on the road, you know, and Mick had to go to the loo.
Well, it is a good place to go. But I was wondering, like, does he lift a seat? Does he flush? You know, what's going on?
Yeah, well, Keith, a lot of people ask that question because, you know, there's always a chance that, you know, someone could steal what's in there if he doesn't flush, you know. And they could sell that, you know, like, you know, $5 a bottle or something, you know, and the little vials of it outside the concert. You know, not that anything illegal ever gets, you know, sold outside of our concerts, I'm telling you, yeah. probably because we've got it all. But actually, what was the question again?
Did he lift a seat? Did he flush?
Oh, did he flush? Yeah, well, he always lifts a seat. Flushing not always there, but you see, we're so bloody rich. We got people on tour who flush the loo for us, you know. And so Mick doesn't always remember when he goes out sometimes. So we're hoping, you know. But we just want to say again, if you're at the concert and there's people going around saying they got Mick's pee for sale, don't buy it because it's bootleg, okay? And it's not sanctioned by the band or anything.
I understand. I understand. Well, why are you guys on tour? You're speaking of the tour. You need money? No. You know, what's with the tour?
Well, you know, a lot of people ask that too, Keith. They say, you know, why are you guys on tour? Like, do you need the money? In fact, people say we're doing it for the money. It's not true. We're doing it for all the bloody money. Anyway, Keith, you know, thanks for calling from St. Andre's Wine, what was it?
No.
You're calling from St. Andre?
We're actually calling from Campbellton, New Brunswick.
Campbellton,
New Brunswick.
Is that near Toronto?
Yeah, it's about maybe like 800 miles east of Toronto.
Do they have like a tower? You got a giant fish?
Yes, we have a giant salmon, great big fish. That's our official animal, or, you know, if a fish is an animal, it's our official one. Sam.
Well, okay. And they say I'm weird. Yeah, thanks for calling, man.
No problem.
So there you go.
And they say I'm weird. Love it. Sam. And they say I'm weird.
Yeah.
Sam.
Well, I was trying to throw in, you know, like, what would Keith Richard be thinking about? Because they spent a lot of time rehearsing in Toronto, and they love Toronto. And, of course, nobody from outside of Canada says Toronto the same way we do. They pronounce it perfectly, and we don't in Canada mostly, you know. Like, I mean, it actually is Toronto, but we don't say it that way. And you can always tell somebody's from outside the area if they say Toronto.
Toronto.
Yeah. If they say Toronto, you know they're not from Detroit. That's for sure. You know, like, I mean, like that. That's what I'm saying. You know, the next gig that I remember us doing after doing the band shell in Dalhousie in the summer, and that was fun in Dalhousie. I really enjoyed that. It was like the outdoor thing, and you know, it was a perfect summer night and that kind of thing. But the next thing we did was the RCVAA telethon, and. You guys,
I love doing that.
Oh man, that was so much fun. You know, like, you guys had been doing it for a few years before I came into that. I think that was around 2006 or 7 when I was with you guys.
It wasn't just with the band either. We did sound for the whole show and lighting and the whole thing. And it was just fun. Love to do it. Love to do it again.
Gary, it was like that. There was like a real feeling of community when you did that. You know, it was like a high school play in one way, but it was like, you know, we were all adults. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it was a good time. And like I said, we've probably done it for 10 years or so. And we've just been up there, and, you know, sometimes we go up there 2-3 days ahead of time and set up and rehearse and set up some more and get everything organized, lineups and so on.
I remember you just letting out that yell. And then we just learned that song right there and played it that day live on the air.
Oh, Swingtown. Yeah. Here we are rehearsing these sets and all these songs that we're going to do for the show. And I think we had probably narrowed it down to two or three songs we were going to do. And then just out of the blue, Gary started playing the drum riff. Yeah. And then you jumped in with the bass. And then first thing you know, Gino's in on guitar. And I realized that you guys are jamming Swingtown by Steve Miller. And then I just started doing the vocals. And then first thing, we had the whole band going. And we thought, let's do this one for our opening song. Yeah, okay. You know, we hadn't rehearsed it. We hadn't sit down, done anything. We'd rehearsed all the other stuff. We figured we probably knew. But this seemed like the idea. And we did. And we had fun with it. Like, I mean, it was just, again, that was the spirit of the band, you know. Like, what do you remember about it, Gary?
I remember it being half hour before showtime and we're doing the song live and don't forget your parts.
you rehearse too much, you ruin the song.
Exactly.
That's my philosophy.
Well, it was the song that I've never played before again. And, you know, I should be used to playing songs that I don't know, but this one went really well. It's hard to explain.
It's not the first time we did that, either.
Exactly. So, yeah.
It was fun though, eh, Keith?
It was. It was a great time. I'd love to keep it up.
I mean...
We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, I think, like, you know, that was one of the most fun... In the couple of years I'd spent back home, it was one of my big highlights for me, that telethon, you know? And it was like, from the beginning of the day until we packed everything up and drove away, it felt like it was just one big fun adventure. And it was very, for me... almost nostalgic. It just triggered me back into my high school days when I worked on the variety show and different plays that we were in, like Rabiton, things like that, you know. So it was kind of cool, you know. But like I'm looking at the history of you guys, you know. Keith, I knew you growing up, I mean, basically, because you lived on Church Street. You grew up on Church Street and I grew up on Matheson, so you know, we were just kind of around the corner from each other. And then, you know,
and shared a lot of friends. So
yeah, we had a lot of mutual friends. I mean, that was before Facebook. We just had the mutual friends and we liked each other without having a button to do it, you know.
Yeah, actual friends.
That's right, on our friends list it was real friends. But Gary, I first remember meeting you, and I don't know if it was when you were working at a Buds, and I did a remote for a Buds. Or
yes,
yeah,
yeah, it was one of those, yeah, yeah.
And then also found out that you were in the band as well that I had just been told I was in. I hadn't, you know, which was cool. And you know, I went from there. So you think that's where we first met, Gare?
Yeah, it must be not far off of that. Yeah,
but I mean, I used to have fun doing remotes at a Buds. Like I mean, they. You know, as I said, I thought you would be the big connection in there for me, you know, but I end up meeting a whole bunch of people there that were just fun to hang out with. But you worked at a Buds for a number of years, right, Gare?
17 years, yeah.
17 years, wow.
Yeah.
And what did you do there?
Pretty much everything except sell the clothes. Did the electronics, the furniture, the appliances, the satellites, the cell phones. The maintenance, the deliveries. I took a lot of them.
Yeah, just about anything that worked with electricity, I think you had something to do with.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. And so you guys met because of Thunderbolt then?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's see if we can figure... Let's see how many names we can figure out have been part of the lineup over the years. I'll tell you what, why don't we trade off here? So, Keith, you give me another name of somebody who's been in Thunderbolt, another musician.
George Schneider, man, Schneider.
All right.
George Schneider.
Gary, what about you?
Ron Perrin.
That's Gypsy Ron.
Gypsy Reese Ron, yeah.
Gypsy Ron, yeah.
I remember him coming into
Gypsy
one of...
Reese.
I remember him showing up at one of our rehearsals. I didn't know Ron at the time or really much about him. And he showed up, and I remember thinking, what a nice guy. Like a really cool dude, you know. And he had been in the band as well.
Yep.
He came to fill in. Raymond went to Ontario for the winter to work, and he came and filled in for him.
Okay, so let's...
And that worked out well.
Absolutely, yeah. So let's see. Let's just keep going for a bit and see how many names we can come up with. Keith, next one's yours.
Melanie. That's our... Mm-hmm. Was our one of our... I think our only girl singer.
Yeah.
Melanie, what's her last
name? Melanie...
Fernette.
Garrity.
Well, originally Garrity, yeah.
She's Fernette now. She's married. They got married over the course of our playing, yeah.
Yeah, she's in the band. She got married.
Yeah.
That's quite an effect on an audience.
I remember we did a gig with her. The remember the street festival there, the parade?
Yeah,
and they put a big cooler of beer and said, here, make sure when you throw your empties out there before the parade starts, you throw them in the grass right there, but keep them separated. Don't break. Well, they had to move the truck ahead. There was no more grass to throw beer bottles on. Before we even started this parade. And let me tell you, by the end of the parade, we needed to pee.
So
something fierce.
Your biggest concern was getting through the parade and so you could get to the bathroom.
Not falling off the trailer.
And falling off the trailer, yeah.
All right, Gary, give me another name.
Steve Beagle.
That's true. I did what, maybe three or four gigs with you guys, I think, and all. But we had some fun people in that band, like your cousin Gary, Eric.
Yeah.
Eric
Burke from Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a cool guy. I love.
Yeah, you played with us when you were there.
Yeah, good guitar player, really good guitar. And he and Gino really, really gelled well together, I thought.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Gino can play with anybody.
What was cool about, about that, too, is when I interviewed Jeff Barnaby, when his movie Blood Quantum came out, I at the beginning of the interview, and I'm sure that he didn't get anybody ask him that question, like he had gone through all these series of interviews for the release of the movie. And I said, hey, if I throw a couple of names at you, can you tell me if you know them? Because I think we have mutual friends. And he goes, okay. And so I started going through this list of people from Listigers that I know. And I go, well, you're a musician, so I'm guessing you know Gino Clement. And he jumps right in. He goes, yeah, but I never had the chance to play with him. And he said, man, a talented guy. And he said, the whole family is talented. And I go, wow. You know, so his reputation is world famous now. You know what I mean?
Well, he's the best guitar player I know. I mean, this guy's incredible.
The thing I...
Agreed.
Absolutely. The thing I love best about Gino is not only is he talented, but he's really giving. Like as a guitar player, so he wants to include you and have you join in so that you can do something better together. That's what I feel with him.
We got a video of me and him and Gary and Ivan Doucette, and we're jamming here in the garage doing a blues song, doing Caledonia, and man, that's just the most fun I think the band has ever had, just jamming out.
Well, so now, you know, as things start to get back to normal again in society and, you know, like functions happen again and parties and concerts and things like that, do you think the band will kind of reform and get back together again or what?
I certainly hope so.
Keith, what do you think?
We're working on it.
I've got 13 bass guitars now. I hate to see them go to waste.
Gary, what do you think?
Yeah, hopefully we'll be able to get a lineup going again or... Get everybody back in on it again and just put, make a one-nighter with everybody who was ever in the band.
Regardless what happens,
be a long night,
getting together to do something.
See, now there, that would make a great telethon or something, you know, like raise money for something. Get every member you can think of that's ever played in Thunderbolt to join them for a song or some kind of piece, you know, and we'll do like some kind of a concert, you know, raise money.
Exactly.
That would be a fun thing.
Because we always did a lot of fundraisers. We always took care of a lot of fundraisers, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were usually playing for free.
We did a lot of those free gigs for charity. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's...
It's worthwhile.
What connects into that, too, is what I found really interesting is that you've got a little community around you. Like when we showed up to do our first gig, you know, like all of a sudden, here's a guy that does lights and here's a guy that does sound and here's a guy that does this and here's a guy that does that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like everybody... just kind of jumps in, and all of a sudden it's this big village that comes in to do a show, you know?
Yeah.
Well, for a while there, we had, what is it, like 13 people on the crew?
Yeah, we have.
Yeah. A bunch of trucks and trailers. We were playing in Dalhousie, just down the street at the arena, just what, not even a half a kilometer away from Gator's house.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Rented this great big U-Haul truck with the box went out over the cab there, a five-ton truck, and another half-ton truck and a trailer, and loaded that up like crazy. Went down there the day before, set up, played, tore down, drove the half a kilometer back, and unloaded everything in the middle of the night. And loved it.
I know. Yeah. And it wasn't like, here's, and I don't mean this negative in any way. It was like, but like the band never really had aspirations of being big. You know, it never, you never looked at it as being this big corporation or, you know, like we're going to do 10 albums and we'll be, you know, we'll do cross Canada tours. And like, that wasn't the, you know, modus operandi of the band, you know, like, but, and people came in and did the same thing. It was like a, almost a volunteer type of thing. So, you know, a lot of it, like you said, was for charities and different functions like that, you know, and, I think I sensed that coming into it.
Yeah.
Well, you got a good sensor.
Yep.
So, okay. Let me...
And people say you have no common sense. As if, listen to this.
Yeah, this proves I have no common sense, but, let me ask you each here, if you had to say you were remembered, if this band was remembered for something, how would you want that to, if you look back, how would you like to be remembered for, Keith?
Just that we were dedicated to the music, believe it or not. I mean, at the height of the band, we were playing three nights a week, doing matinees and practicing at least two more times a week. Even if we were playing three nights a week, we'd rehearse two nights a week. So that, you know, phrase about rehearsing, not getting in our way, it didn't get in the way, but we did do it.
Well, they think that has an effect, though. Like, I mean, like all of those gigs and things that you did with all of these different people, I mean, myself included, you had an effect on me and an influence on me in one way, you know? I mean, when you think of the ripples that may have gone through, you know, the music community in Atlantic provinces, how do you think that played out, Keith?
Well, a good example is when I got sick with leukemia and Gary put on the benefit, the outpouring was unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. So, and lots of people had my back, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
It was nice to see that. I loved seeing the communities and different people come together, and so many people. Like, it was nice to see all that love, man.
Mm, it was great.
Yeah. So it means a lot, eh?
I was impressed. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. And I suspect Gary had most of the work to do for that.
No, we had a good crew and went over really well. I was impressed with it. Yep. A lot of people,
everything,
community.
Well.
Yeah. With the community and the people around that helped us, it was overwhelming. I can tell you that. It was pretty good.
Yeah. I think you streamed part of it because I remember seeing part of it online.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
So, Gary, what would you, if you looked at the legacy, so to speak, of Thunderbolt, how would you describe it?
It's pretty much what Keith said. It's we're all pretty much on the same page. So it's, you know. We were here. We put our, you know, we put our mark on the territory, put it that way, kind of thing. So, and everybody who saw us, who came out to see us, it was always like, wow, where'd you guys come from? And, you know, that kind of thing.
Did you ever want to do any recording, or did you guys do any recording?
We did some with Mel there. Yeah. We did a couple of songs with Mel, and we had
Wayne Penny.
Wayne Penny was in on it, helping us out. He wrote some songs, and we dropped out a couple of singles, but like you said, if it goes anywhere, it goes somewhere. And if it didn't, it was just all experience, all fun, and for us, anyways.
Mm. We had one song on the radio there, In My Dreams.
Yeah, with Raymond, yeah.
Raymond's song. I don't even remember what year it would have been. But Raymond was up in Montreal, and what was the guy's name? Bernie wrote the song?
Bernie, yep.
Anyways, and Raymond recorded it in Montreal. And this would have been like 78 when he recorded it. And he brings it out and plays it for us. Like, hey, get a hold of your Bernie friend there and find out if we can use the song. And apparently the guy said, go ahead, do what you want with it. So we released it.
Did you get?
But the recording actually, it's just Raymond is the only member that's on the album.
It's
itself.
On the album, yeah.
Yeah. And then we changed it up. Gino put in the guitar solo.
Yeah,
surprise.
We added, yeah, we added a band to it. Put it that way, so.
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny how songs, how you get to work them and play with them, you know, like you can, sometimes a song comes in, you know, the whole structure is there. Other times it's bits and pieces that you keep adding to it. The way I describe it, you build a song, you know, you build it.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, I love the process. I absolutely, you know, for me, what blew my mind was I'd walk into a studio with, you know, a couple of pieces of paper with some lyrics on, you know. And I'd leave 5 hours later, and I got a demo of the first mix, and I'm playing it in my car as I'm driving home. That just, the whole process just blew my mind. You know, we're a few hours ahead of time. It was just words on a paper, you know?
Mm.
Yeah, it's pretty creative stuff. You know, it's
another thing about songs, too, is sometimes there'll be a song written, and five big stars will record that song and nothing happens, and then some unknown person will record it and it's a hit. You know, like, you just never know what's going to come out of it.
Well, yeah, and that's the fun and I think beauty of it, you know, like there's no guarantee in the music industry, and sometimes that can be a cruel thing, but it can also, the way I've always described it with my producer years ago in Toronto was that it's a roll of the dice and you just don't know. They could come up double sixes and you know, but I mean, you don't do it for that. You do it for the song, or you do it for the creative process, or what you feel, what you achieve when you're done. And you always have that, you know?
Yeah. Music and magic, almost the same.
Good way to end it too. Music and magic, almost the same. Well, listen, guys, I'm going to thank you for doing the show. And I really appreciate being part of the experience of being in Thunderbolt, because like I say, you came along at a time where I really needed you guys. And not only that, like you made me feel part of something that I really needed to feel part of. But more than that, I don't think there's any creative process or performing process, whether it's a play or whether it's something in radio or something that I recorded in a studio, I don't think I've ever laughed or had as much fun as I did with you guys. You know, you guys are the champs for that. It's guaranteed. We could walk in where the world had just ended outside our door when we walked in to rehearse in Dalhousie at Gary's place in the basement, and we could walk into there and the rest of the world didn't matter. You know, like, it was like going to Disneyland. Any troubles or things that you had, you left them at the gate. And, you know, when you went home, you picked them up again on the way home. But every time I went into a rehearsal with you guys, I knew that there was going to be a guaranteed laugh in there somewhere. And I mean, like belly laughs and countless laughs, you know, and, you know, so not.
We've had rehearsals too. There were, you go in and you start talking, you have a few beers, and then you go home. Nobody picked up an instrument, and they were some of the most productive meetings we ever had.
Well, that,
yep, those are great. I like those.
Well, you know, you've hit on a really important point, you know, because like me, I'm up on soapboxes preaching mindset. It's all about mindset these days. And that's what I learned from you guys was the mindset of a band. You know, nobody was out to screw anybody. Nobody was out to say I'm the lead. Nobody was out to say I'm the most important part of this band. It was just, let's have some friggin' fun. And the more fun we have, the more fun we have, the better we sound, and the better we sound, the more fun we have. You know, there's nothing like the feeling when you're on stage and you're into a groove, things are going really well in that song, and you're having the ball, you're just having a ball, and you look over at the guy next to you. You know, I'd look over at Keith and he had a big grin on his face as he's looking back at me, you know, or I'd look behind me at Gary playing drums, you know, barefoot. This guy he's the only drummer I know that plays barefoot. This guy doesn't jam, Keith. He toe jams. You know what I mean?
He's all natural.
Does Keith have an idiosyncrasy like that, Gary? That, I mean, you know, like you're unique in that, like with the barefoot drumming. Like, does Keith have one of those?
No, he plays with his boots on. I'm glad.
I chew gum.
He chews gum. He's always got the big hubba bubba. I got video of that somewhere also.
Helps me keep my timing.
On the top of his amp, there was always a ball of water. and a pack of gum.
Pack of Hubba Bubba.
Pack of Hubba Bubba. Yeah.
I like it. I like it. Hubba Bubba, yeah. Hubba Bubba used to be the name of a strip club in Ottawa. Do you know that? Hubba Bubba's. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's true. Anyway, guys, thanks for doing the show. I really appreciate it. Keith, you know, known you a long time. I know you've gone through some health issues in the last little while. I'm glad to see that you're doing better these days. And I know a lot of us out there are happy about that, and we wish you the best. Thank you for
thank you very much.
And thank you for everything you did for me back then and everything you continue to do as my friend. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, my friend. Call tomorrow. We'll do the interview again.
We may. Gary, again, you know, like, thanks for welcoming me in when you didn't even know me, and you just, like, on Keith's word, said, yeah, I guess he's all right. And, you know, you brought me in, and every conversation I've ever had with you has always been friendly. I've never felt like you were ever, you know, mean to anybody around me or anything. And I think you're a great role model, and I really appreciate knowing you.
Yeah, right on. Feelings mutual, you know.
What last words, you guys? Anything you want to say to your friends and fans out there, Keith?
Why is the sky blue? Yeah, okay.
I like it.
And thanks for all your support over the years, and
always
being there for the guys who helped us out over the years, the roadies, the techs, whoever. They were always 100%. They were there.
Thanks for making us even more famous.
And that's our show. My thanks to Keith Harris for joining us from Campbellton, Gary Fugere in Dalhousie. And in just a moment, we'll go to Vermont and Listigouche too. Down Home Corner is produced by me, Steve Bischow. I can produce and edit your podcast. Drop me a line for more information. Hire me for your next project whenever you need a professional voice. Commercials, tutorials, explainer videos, narrations, I do it all. Let my voice bring your words to life. If you have ideas for upcoming shows or you just want to connect, drop me a line anytime. Steve@downhomecorner.com. Please subscribe wherever you hear us. Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Podomatic, almost anywhere. Please like us on Facebook and Instagram because we like you. You can listen to all our episodes anytime you like at downhomecorner.com. I'm Steve Bischow, reminding you, everybody has a story, and we are all connected.
Hi, this is Gino Clement. We played at the Christmas telethon. We did a song for the opening song that we never really practiced. We just did it right off the cuff. A song from Steve Miller. I do believe it was Swing Town, if I'm not mistaken. Could be wrong. I don't know, but correct me if I am. But yeah, we did that right off the cuff, and we opened up the show with that. And it was really, really smooth. Just like everything else we did. Really, really fun to do. And I'd like to say hello to the boys, to Keith and Gary and Eric and Steve, thank you very much for joining us here, and thank you so much.
No, I was just going to say, you're such a from-the-heart guy, you know, and the best part of playing with you is and I tell this to everybody, is that you're such a giving musician, you know, like you're not there to steal any thunder, you're there to make the thing better, and I think you get as big a kick out of us sounding good as we do playing with you, you know?
that's one of the stories I share a lot, too, the one I just mentioned there, we did that Christmas telethon.
Yeah, I love that telethon, man. That was I didn't know it was that important to you, but it was, like, to me, the Christmas telethon was, oh, man, it was the time of my life, my friend.
Yeah, we did that song just right off the cuff. It was just a riff that we just threw together, and all of a sudden we did the whole song.
I know, it was wild.
That was fantastic.
I know, it was right. It was so spontaneous, and we talk about that in the episode, so it's cool that you mentioned that, you know, and it's just, you know, sometimes, like, music is organic, you know, and that's where you get the most fun. And when you get the energy feeding off each other, it's just a beautiful thing.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
We gotta do it again sometimes.
I like that idea very much. Let's aim for, if not this Christmas coming up, the one after or something. You know, let's aim for something.
Absolutely.
Right on. Thanks, Gino. Appreciate it, man. Lots of love and respect to you, my friend.
Thank you. You take care.
Hey, who's this calling?
Hi, this is Eric, calling from Vermont.
And what do you remember about Thunderbolt, Eric?
I remember the day we did the telethon out in Campbellton, and we had a little fun coming down the hill with the truck full of road gear, and did a couple of spins before coming to rest near a guardrail. Boy, you guys had to be there, but you asked Richard about that one.
I actually am glad I wasn't there. but I gotta tell you, you know, the Dalhousie Hills will certainly do a big competition against the hills of San Francisco, you know.
Oh yeah, especially in the wintertime.
Well, what do you want to say to the guys?
Just that I miss you guys. I miss playing with you. I miss seeing your face. Hope to hear from you soon, and I will definitely be calling you.
Right on. Thank you, Eric. And
thanks a lot, Steve. Good to hear from you.
I got to tell you, man, it was a real pleasure singing with you guys, and especially jamming with you, too, personally, Eric.
Thank you very much. Feelings mutual.